is Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh no kenosim lefnechem ayom bracha u'kola. See, I have given in front of you bracha and kola today. So shout out to
Yosef Siwal.
Yosef Siwal.
He just got engaged.
Okay, here we go. So, I've given in front of you bracha and klala. So, it's pretty clear the Torah wasn't given that day. I mean, this is definitely within, after Rosh Chodesh Shvat of the 40th year when Bnei Yisrael was in the Midbar. It's pretty clear that it's not Nosim Lefnechem Ayom Bracha U'Klala referring to today I went to Har Sinai and I was able to give you the Torah. Pretty clear like that. But, it says the word Hayom. So, what is the word Hayom? Why write that word Hayom and why put it in here? So, the Kedushas Levi, Oblivious and Redishus says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Behirus Chadoshim, every single day. Every day there is brand new clarity that you weren't able to get the day before. Now, I know we have something called Yoridas Adoros, but if you look through the way people learn, we start learning clearer as time goes on. We're able to clarify things. We get more information. When you have more people writing on more subjects and you have more sfarim out there, you're able to expand the Torah more and more and more. So even though they were greater than us in their comprehension of the Torah Shebichtav and their Torah Shebaalpeh was more limited, so to speak, than ours was because they didn't need it, ours is more expanded. So in a way, that becomes greater. Says the Kedushas Levi, it becomes greater every single day. Every day there's more clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts down in the world that if we want to, we can grab that and understand the Torah better than what we had the day before, as well as chasadim, great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts down in the world to be able to make things better for us. Only one who's a true Oved Hashem, if you truly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you be able to understand when that seichel, when that behirus, all those good things come down, and you'll be able to grab it down. That's when you're able to really understand it. But if you don't, if you're not that, then you won't be able to do it. Hayom means you sit there on that day and you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're bringing this down, and you picture yourself as if you're grabbing that shefa, grabbing that chesed. The Yalkut Reuveni says that Moshe Rabbeinu showed them, Re'eh, see how I'm giving in front of you bracha and klala, and showed them brachas coming down from Shemayim, and klala's coming down from Shemayim. It's to picture it in your head as if you're seeing the good things and grabbing it, and taking the bad things and pushing it away. It's as if you're looking at it with yourself, and saying it, and then the melee you'll get all brachos. And it goes the other way as well. If you see them, you see yourself, and you see the clothes come down, you can push away those clothes. You can make sure that the clothes don't apply in you. It may have to fall on somebody else, but you can make sure that it goes somewhere else and not you, as long as you picture it as today as being the day. The question is why? What's so big about thinking of things as happening today, as opposed to 40 years ago? Like if I think that the Torah was given in 2448, which in 5769 is a total of 3,321 years ago, so I would sit there and I would say to myself, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so here we go. So if I would think that way, what's the big deal? At least I know that the Torah was given. At least I know that something happened. And also, it says like this, Etz HaBrocha Asher Tishmo Mitzvot Hashem Elokechem Asher Anochi Mitzav Eschan Hayom VeHaKlolim Lo Tishmo Mitzvot Hashem Elokechem Etzarchi Mederach Asher Anochi Mitzav Eschan Hayom. It says the word Hayom by both. So if you want to say that Hayom means something that's Chadashim, something that's news, something that's what does it apply by Klala? For example, Rashi says the following. He says, Hayom means you should look at Torah as if you were on Har Sinai today, as if you got it today. Fine, I can understand that by Bracha. You want good things? I understand that. You look at the Torah as if it's given today? I hear that. But by Klala, why is it bad if you don't picture it as if it was given to you today? If it was given to you 3,000 years ago, that's also okay, right? Why is that a Klala? Why does that cause bad things to happen? Oh, this is such an awesome line. And also it says, Lalecha Sacharei Elohim Acherim. You're going to go after other gods. So, okay, you're going after other gods? Just because you don't look at the Torah as if it was given today, you're going to be going after other gods? And then, Asher Lo Yedatem, that you never knew before. What if there were gods that I already knew? Again, the whole pasuk is a little bit off. What's this klala that's going to happen? So, the Chasam Sofer says like this. He says, naturally, a person loves hearing news. You love the flash news, the brand new things. Like you love being the bearer of good news or bad news. You love being the guy to say, like, hey, guess what I heard that you didn't hear yet? Guess what? Hey, did you hear this guy had a baby? And everybody's like, yeah, I already heard. He just, darn it! I wanted to be the one. I wanted to tell you. I wanted to get the first thing out. There's people who go, I mean, now it's like, I don't know if people still do this, but they go online to go to Only Simchas. They like have it like constantly on them. They have constant updates to know who, they can be the first person to know when somebody gets engaged, or know when a baby is born or anything. So they're up there and they're like, yes, I'm first! So they can go out and tell other people. We're obsessed with news to the point where newspapers are not enough. It's not enough to know it the next morning. You got to know now. Now. I was shocked by the Olympics when people were saying nobody wants to watch the Olympics anymore. Why? because you just watch little clips online before they get brought to the Olympic Channel that night in America. If it's happening in Beijing, then it was happening a little bit earlier. So just, they'll do it earlier. They don't care. It doesn't make a difference to them because they just want to see it as soon as it happens. 5 hours later, it's old news. It's old news. It's just not new anymore. And that's why online is killing newspapers, because people want to hear it now. They want to be right then and there. What's shot behind that? Our seichel, the way our mind works, knows that it's great to hear happy things. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. You ever notice how younger people are always bored by history? Never want to hear history. Never want to hear the history of anything. I was just telling you guys before that I was approached by a woman/young girl at the age of 25 who came up to me and said, "Can you tell me about Judaism? I just want to know about Judaism." A girl who was wearing a cross, you know, around her neck. It was very clear she was Christian. And she said straight out, "I'm Christian. I just want to know what Judaism is all about." This was 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago in Lake Geneva. What? What, Lake Geneva? You got to start hanging out there. By the way, so just 2 hours ago, this way, I was sitting there and this person came up to me and I said, "Historically, have you ever gone through, you know, what Christianity believes, what happened 2,000 years ago?" She said, "No." I said, "Do you want to know?" She said, "No." So I said, "Can I ask you why not? I can give you just a quick history lesson on what the difference is, why we don't believe in Judas and everything, all the J's. Just go through all the J's and the 12 disciples. I could just go through everything if you want, or my dad is an expert in history, he can tell you right now." She said, "Nah, I'm not into history." Okay, why aren't you into history? Because history already happened. You're not into things that happened 20 years ago. You're not interested in things that happened 5 minutes ago. She's like, "I want to know what's there right now." Everybody, our minds are set on now. And a second ago is already gone out of my mind. It's completely gone. I'm thinking of the next second, and the next second, and the next second, and the next second. That's the way my mind works. I don't think about what happened 5 minutes ago. And in fact, the only things that I do keep in my mind, unfortunately, are the bad things. Because those things make indelible impressions in my mind. The good things, maybe they'll hit somewhere. That's why people don't remember learning. You're not going to, because it's not, unless it's really bad. Then you remember how bad it is. Then you'll remember how bad it is. But other than that, you're not going to remember it, because it doesn't make that big of an impression on you, because all you think of, your mind works as going further and further and further and further. That's why newspapers, that's why people go up to other people and say, "Wait, what's new?" Because you really want to know. You don't say, like, "What's going on 5 minutes ago?" You want to know what's new right now, what's happening right now. That's where your mind works. That's why, if you don't treat Torah as if it was given to you today, you treat it as if it was something that was 3,000 years ago, then mamela, if you have a chumash and a newspaper, you're going to reach for the newspaper and read the newspaper first. You're not going to read the chumash. Because the chumash is old, while the newspaper is new. If you sit there and you have magazines in your house, you're going to read the newer magazines rather than the older magazines. If you're really bored and you're in the bathroom, maybe you'll take the older magazines. But it's a little bit different. But it's different. It's already old. It's just different. I was sitting in, I don't remember if it was a Jewel or something like that, and Rachel wanted to buy a Reader's Digest. She said, I just want to read something easy, something quick, you know, that you just go through and everything. And there were two Reader's Digests. One said the best jokes or whatever it was, but it was from July. And one said, like, it was a new thing, whatever it was, how to save this and that, whatever it was, from August. And Rachel said, "I want the August one." I said, "Why don't you go for the other one?" She said, "This one's newer." What difference does it make? You're probably going to enjoy the joke one better than you're going to enjoy the saving money one. You're not going to look at any of those. I mean, nobody's going to keep any of that. But it's just simple. When a person starts thinking new things, you go for the new. You don't go for the old. So it's a klal. It's automatically a klal. If you don't think of the Torah as given to you today, if you don't think of the if you don't look at it as hayom, today is the day that you got the Torah. If you don't look at it that way, then you're going to go after other gods. What that means is you're going to go after other things that are brand new. Things that should low you that 10 that you never knew before. You're not going to go for the gods that you knew before. That's old news. That has nothing to do with me. I'm going to go for the new things that are not out there that I've never seen, never heard of, that I never realized was out there. That's what you're going to go after because it's not hayom. It's not something brand new. That's the idea behind it. You have to take this further, though. If you really knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, you'd want to start paying attention to everything. And you'd really want to learn the Torah. You trust that Torah is news. You think to yourself that everything is there is news. If you really had Yerush Shemayim, it wouldn't be a question. And this connects with the last week's Parsha. Now we're going to really get into Yerush Shemayim. This is an unbelievable little thing. What you learn is not just information. What you're learning tonight has nothing to do with information going inside your head, and then you go out of this and like, "Oh, I'm an enlightened person now. I feel better for having learned that." HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that the Torah that you learn, the Torah that you pay attention to, the Torah that you sit there and you hear what's going on, is something that will have a direct impact on your day over the next 24 hours. Everything you learn has a direct impact. Whether you sit there and you think about it or not, it always does. The Arizal used to say that if a person gets an aliyah, that week, whatever aliyah you got, that week, something will happen from that aliyah. There will be something there that happens. The famous story of the Arizal, when he told everybody, nobody can write down what I say, except for Rechaim Vital. Rechaim Vital is the only one who was allowed to, but nobody else was allowed to write it down. Nobody else. This is a man named Moshe, who was a Rebbe named Moshe, this is Talmud of the Arizal, you can't really call him a man. He was writing down the writings of the Arizal and then burying it in the ground. So one time he got called up for an aliyah, he came to the Arizal afterward, and the minhag was, after he got an aliyah, you went to the Arizal, you kissed the Arizal's hand. He was about to go up to the Arizal took his hand away. He said, "What happened?" He said, "You've been writing down my Torah." He said, "How do you know?" So the Arizal said, "You just got an aliyah, and in the aliyah it said, 'Vayichtov Moshe, it's called Divrei HaTorah Azos.'" So it means that you must have been writing it down. If you really paid attention, it's not posh to be called up for the klalos in Kisavo or in Bechukosai. It's not posh to be called up for the Aseret HaDibros. If you get called up for the Aseret HaDibros, that's big. And I hope it's not for Lo Sinah, for Lo Signo, for Lo Sirtach. You hope it's for the Anokhi Hashem Elokech, or the Yir HaShemayim that comes with Lo Yelech HaLoim HaKayim Raponai. You have no idea what it's for, but there's some connection, there's something that you're learning right now that affects you over the week.
And there are certain people who can be called up for those things.
Oh, sometimes yes. How many times? It's not true, Yaakov, it's not true. There's always times where somehow something could happen. There's been times where I've gotten Kohen, there's been times when I've gotten Levi, and there's times where I saw a Levi get Shishi, because there weren't enough people in the minyan. There was times where I saw a Levi get a Chamishi. There are times where that happens, because you don't have much of a choice. There's just not enough people there. There's 10 people there, there's 6 Levi'im, what are you going to do? It can happen. You're right, it won't normally happen, but it means that if that happens, you know there's something behind it. There's a reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu did it, and there's a reason why you're learning here. There's a reason why you came this week, and you didn't come last week. There's a reason why you're here, and not somewhere else. There's a reason why something is being said here, where I had an idea, and I said, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to go into this, and I'm not going to go into anything else. It's not just knowledge, that's just information. There's a reason why somebody will be spacing out, and then all of a sudden space in for a couple minutes of something that you heard. It's not just Stam. Everything has some type of a connection. Everything is there. This morning, I was in Buffalo Grove for Minyan, and Mike Green, if anybody knows Mike, was in charge of the giving out the aliyahs, the gabbai, and he came up to me right before, and he's like, "I'm so sorry. I want to give you an aliyah, but somebody has your tzeit today." I looked at him like, first of all, you'd have to give my dad first. You have a chiyuv to give my father before you give me. But second of all, what's the big deal? That means that person has something in that aliyah that he needs to have done for him. Well, me, doesn't make a difference. I don't have anything that I need to do. There will be something later on today where I'm learning Shabbos, or I'm going over the shir, where I'm doing something different, in which while I'm learning, something will affect me later on that day. I'll have something that hits me for later on that day. But it's not a coincidence. This is learning. That's what learning means. Learning does not mean just putting stuff into your head. It means affecting you. Taking it and bringing it out with you. Taking something that you learned and using it over the next 24 hours, over the next day, and saying to yourself, this is what I need to do. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to instill that within us. To think that while we're learning, it's literally putting something inside you. So he said the following, Re'eh Anochi Nosin Lifnecham Hayom. Re'eh Anochi Nosin Lifnecham is Anochi. Anochi was in the Aseret HaDibros, is what I'm giving in front of you. I'm putting that in front of you and I'm giving it to you. But it's more than that. Re'eh is a trup over here. Anybody know what the trup is?
Revi.
A Revi is a tiny dot, which stands for a Yud. It says, this comes from the Tiferet Shlomo, from the Radomsker. The Yud is added onto Re'eh to make the word Yira. Yira Anochi Nosin Lefnechem Hayom. Brachu Kol. What I'm giving you is Yiras Shemayim. I'm giving you pure Yiras Shemayim, pure awe in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's the Yud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, out of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Hashem's name, the Yud stands for Yira. That Yud is supposed to be for pure Yiras Shemayim, pure fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greater in Yira that you are, the greater in Anov you are. Makes sense, right? If you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, that means you're going to see yourself as lower and lower and lower. That means you're the greatest son of Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the most Yiras Shemayim, as we learned last week. If you have a question in Yira, who do you go to? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, listen, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you except to fear him? And Yira Milsazu trusted he to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a tiny thing to Moshe Rabbeinu because he was such an anav. He's such a humble person. He looked at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and he's like, you're unbelievable. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the quintessential anav. He's the quintessential Yira Shemayim. So his greatest gift to Klal Yisrael would be to give them Yira Shemayim so that they could be anavim, so that they could be humble people. They'd be able to say, so Yira Anochi Nosin with Nechamayim, because I speak with a Kodesh Baruch Hu Palpa, I'd be able to say it. And it's only a remez. He can't say it straight out that I'm giving you Yira. I can't say that straight up because Moshe Rabbeinu is an anav. He can't say straight up, here's what I'm giving you. I'm giving you the ability to be fear Shemayim. He can't think that he's the greatest Yira Shemayim of all time. He would think that everyone in Bnei Yisrael would be fearing heaven just like he would. So Re'e Anokhi Nisim L'Tnecham Yom is the remez to Yira with the trup of the Yud, is Yira Anokhi Nisim L'Tnecham Yom. I'm giving it to you, but it's not direct. It's indirect. It's a different way where I'm giving it to you, and that's the connection between Ekev and Re'e. The connection of Yira Shemayim from last week's parsha to this parsha, but it's so much more than that. He's giving them bracha, right? Why bracha? What does Yira have to do with giving them a bracha? Because the pshat is, if you have Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Hashem, He Otsaro. That is the treasury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the treasure house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that means is the following. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down bracha to anyone, there's a way for the makatrigim, the accusers, to grab that bracha, take it away, and throw it down to the ground. To lose it. To make that person lose out on it. He doesn't deserve it. Why give it to him? Give it to that guy. Give it to someone else. Yiras Hashem Yotzaro means, if you have Yiras Shemayim, it makes it into a storage house. You're able to keep the bracha, and there's no one that can take it away. No one can grab that bracha out. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to make sure that the bracha would be placed down in front of Klal Yisrael. How? By giving them Yiras Shemayim. What does Yiras Shemayim do? It makes them anothim. It gives them an otzer. It makes them unable to lose that bracha. That's the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do, and it's perfect for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. What do Levim do in the Beis HaMikdash, aside from sing? That was something that we did before. They're shomer. They're shomrim. They guard the Beis HaMikdash. They watch the Beis HaMikdash, and they make sure that nothing happens. Because that's the pshat. That's otzer. Because they're pure and Yiras Shemayim, they're able to do it and take it away. Okay, you want to, it's one connection after the other. Where was that Yira completely shalom? Where was the Yira full? Without question, everybody had that Yira Shemayim. Where was it? In what area? The Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is Yira Shalayim. That's what it stands for. Yerushalayim was named for Yira Shalayim. What's the pshat behind that? In this week's parsha, you'll see five times Moshe Rabbeinu mentioning HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to build the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't say anything about a Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't say anything about Yerushalayim. He mentions the place. He mentions an area. He never mentions Yerushalayim. And the question is obvious. Everyone asked it. Reb Schwab asked it. Reb Shlomo asked it. The Me'am Luis asked it. The Chassam Sofer. Everyone has their own answer. Why not mention Yerushalayim? Just say the name. Why not mention it? It's not like they didn't know it. It's not like they didn't know that Yerushalayim stood for Yerushalayim, that there was going to be a place called Yerushalayim. They knew that. So why not say it out loud? Why not say, when you go to Yerushalayim, you're going to build it up? So Rabbeinu Bechaya has answers that he doesn't want. The Goyim shouldn't go there and ruin the place for us or anything like that. But we got, it's so strange. Why not just tell us outright where that is? Everybody knew where Har Moriah was. Everybody knew that Avraham Avinu brought Yitzchak there for the Akedah. Everybody knew that Yaakov Avinu slept there. Everyone knew where Har Moriah was. Everyone knew. It's not a question. So what's the pshat behind calling Yerushalayim? Because the pshat is, in order to get to Yerushalayim, in order to make Yerushalayim, you need to have shleimus in Yiras Shemayim. You need to be shalem in your fear of heaven. And until that point comes, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. You can't make Yerushalayim. And we started off this year like this. Although we know there's Yiridus Hadoros, certain things can grow. Our learning can grow in time. The same way there's more and more and more Sfarim, and our Seichel can be grown and grown and grown. Yiras Shemayim can grow with people. It can grow with people. You can become greater in Yiras Shemayim as time goes by, and we're further and further away from Har Sinai. Although we're less in our abilities, our Yiras Shemayim can grow. And Yiras Shemayim did grow to the point of Dovid HaMelech, where he was able to make Tehillim and create a real Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. He's able to find the place where Yerushalayim was because everybody was showing in Yiras Shemayim to the point where he was able to make such a Beis HaMikdash, and that's L'shichno Sidrishu Uvas HaShama. When you darshan out, when you search for the Shechina, Uvas HaShama, you will come there. We know where Yerushalayim is. We know where the Beis HaMikdash is. But that doesn't mean we can build up the Beis HaMikdash unless you're an extreme sect of Judaism. It doesn't mean you can go up there and sacrifice goats. Again, same thing as before. Same thing. The reason why is because you've got to wait until there's Yira Shemayim by Klal Yisrael. When we get that Yira, then automatically Yerushalayim is built, and automatically Uvas HaShama, you will come there. That's the pshat behind the pasuk. It's not. It's hard to do on its own. Yerushalayim only comes when it's Yerushalayim, and that's why it's known as the Makom. It's the place where you find HaMakom, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Not just in one place and you say, oh, here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaMakom. He's absolutely everywhere. He's all around. And he's all over the place. That's the pshat behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu making this idea. Yeah, Ali. Now you know you're looking very good. Rav Schwab adds that on to this whole board. It's a Radomsker board, but I found that Rav Schwab probably went over these Sfarim beforehand. He adds on to them a lot. It's 100%. Now I know you're Elokim. You're Elokim. You'll see it throughout. You'll see it throughout. I mean, that's the whole idea of Ashrei. Ashrei is also the word of Yirei Shin. Yirei Shin. You're fearing the Shai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shin Olamos, the Shai Olamos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Ashrei. And that's why Ashrei starts off the Torah. Bereishis has the words Ashrei in it. And the end of the Torah, Yisrael, has the word Yirei and Ashrei inside it. It's not... It's unbelievable. And Ashrei is... Okay, there's a lot to it. We don't have to go into that right now. It's the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name given for Yerushalayim is Ela Menucha Ve'la Nachla. Menucha stands for Shiloh. The resting place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh. Nachla stands for the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Okay. Seemingly, Yerushalayim is greater. Because Menucha is just rest. Nachla is an inheritance. So you think, and it's Pashut, that Nachla is greater than the Menucha. That would make sense, right? So Yerushalayim would be greater. But here's a strange halacha. It's a Gemara and Megillah. There's one difference between Yerushalayim and Shiloh, Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh, you're allowed to eat Kachin Kalim anywhere where you can see Mishkan Shiloh. Wherever you could see it, anywhere around Mishkan Shiloh, anywhere around Shiloh, as long as you could see Shiloh, you're allowed to eat Kachin Kalim. But in Yerushalayim, you're only allowed to eat it when you're inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Even though you can see Yerushalayim, that's not good enough. Only inside. That's strange. That means the Kiddush of Shiloh permeated more area than the Kiddush of Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim's greater. Obviously Yerushalayim's greater. It's Menucha Benachal. It's only a resting place, Shiloh. So why, and if it was greater, then why not keep Mishkan Shiloh? It was destroyed at one point, but you could rebuild it. There's no reason why not to. Even though it went to Nov and Givon later on, you can still build it up in Shiloh, so what's the pshat? You got to look at the construction. No, there are four different types of things in this world. There is domain, which is anything that does not have life. Rocks. You'd really have to go metals, things like that, things that have no life whatsoever. There's tzomeach, which is a level above, which are plants. Chai, which are animals, and the medaber, which are people. It's those four levels. Domein, tzomeach, chai, and medaber. Yes, 100%. HaKadosh Baruch Hu are above medaber, and he put us above a certain level, and that's your thumb. The thumb is always above everything else. That's Bnei Yisrael, as opposed to Domein, Tzomeach, Chai, and Adam. Yes, 100%. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're going to concentrate on these four. The Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, the purpose of both was to spread Kedusha throughout the entire world. To take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha and spread it everywhere. So the easiest place to spread it to is Medaber. That's the easiest. Then comes Chai. Then Tzomeach, and then Domein. The hardest place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to permeate himself to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the rocks. The rocks that are around the world. You can't find a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. You don't even realize that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. It just doesn't appear that way. The Mishkan was made of the following. Silver sockets, wooden panels, and skins on top. Okay? That's Domeim on the bottom, Someach going up, and Chai on top of all that. The Mishkan, that was the Mishkan in the Midbar. I'm sorry, in the desert. Mishkan Shiloh was made with stone walls, but the skins on top. That's Domein, no more Tzomech, and Chai on top. The Beis HaMikdash was entirely stone with some wooden slats on top. Almost entirely Domein, but a little bit of Tzomech, but not even close to Chai. You don't have any Chai. And there's definitely no Medaber there. There's no people that are involved in the building or any part of a person that's put inside the building. What's Pshat? You'd think that Beis HaMikdash would have the most Chai, because that would be the most Kedusha. That would be the closest to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? So you'd think that would be in Mishkan in the Midbar would be the farthest away. So you'd need to have the most Domein. That's what you would think. But Pshat is so obvious, says the Shem Yishmol. Unbelievable words. So the pshat is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to permeate his Kedusha. As Bnei Yisrael went on and their Yira grew, the Kedusha grew with them. So even though in the original Mishkan, the Yira was small, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was there, but the Yira that they had was a Yira when they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu left, that Yira left them and they didn't have it as much, and the Yira had to grow with them. So originally, that fear didn't let the Kedusha permeate as much. So they needed Chai. They needed Someach. They needed just a tiny little bit of Domen. We can get a Kadosh Baruch Hu to infuse his Kedusha in a tiny little bit of Domen, but we can't do more than that. By Mishkan Shiloh, you could add in a little bit more Domen. You still need the Chai on top. You still need the animals on top for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to put it down. But then you can add it on to the Domen that's beneath it. Then you can add it on to that. But the Beis HaMikdash was so holy and so Kadosh that it was able to have this Kedusha infused throughout the entire thing, even though it was almost entirely Domen. Everything was affected. The entire world was affected. Every part of the entire world was affected by the Domen, but even in the Domen, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Yira, which was so great in the world that they were able to make such a thing called Yerushalayim.
Isn't that the opposite of Korbanos?
Yes.
The same Korbanos, though, is the same concept.
It's the opposite set of concept. The point
is,
exactly, very cool, what David just said, bringing Korbanos is bringing us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Making the Beis HaMikdash is bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu to us. And that's the difference. It's the exact opposite process. It's the difference between a Kohen and a Levi. A Kohen brings us, I should say, brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to us. They bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down and they bless the people. While Levi makes your neshama by its singing and by its shmira, brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brings you further up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference between them. It's a very big difference, but that's the difference between them. That's the pshat behind. It's a nachla. It's a place that is a permanent resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We brought down, with our yira, we built Yerushalayim, we brought down such yira that we can't switch this place. There's no other place that is infused with Kedusha as that area of the Beis HaMikdash. We brought down the yira and we kept it there. That's the nachla of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Shiloh, it was just a menucha. It was a resting place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a little bit, but then it went away. Then it just got out. There was nothing else we could do. It rested there for a little bit. We could bring him down for a little bit, but we couldn't keep him there. There was nothing else we could do. That's why Kedushas Yerushalayim cannot go out any further. Because the holier a thing is, the more private it is. The more it can't get out there. The Kodesh HaKadoshim had to be inside something, and then enclosed. You can't have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It can't. Something Kadosh is too much for this world. It's too much to be open outside in the world. So Kedushas Yerushalayim has to be inside the walls because its Kedusha was so great, it could only stay in something if it was surrounded by someone, by something. Surrounded by a wall. It has to be in a Rishus HaYachid. While the Kedusha of Shiloh, although it was great, could go even outside its walls. It wasn't great enough that it had to be held inside. It was great, and it spread out, but it wasn't great enough that it had to be sit inside. That's going to explain one last thing, and maybe this is something that, I don't know why I connected this last part, to be honest with you. I had four other words that I wanted to put in, and I put this in instead. Aser ta'aser is mentioned in the Sukkot Parsha, the take-off miser. Aser b'shvil shetisa sher, says the Gemara. Do miser, because you will become rich. Do Meiser and you will become rich. I happen to get three questions today about Meiser, random questions about Meiser. Can you pay for somebody who's a Baal Tshuva to go to Eretz Yisrael with your Meiser money? Random questions in Meiser. I got three of them in my cell phone today. I can't answer those questions. Those are a bit too much for me.
Do you do Meiser at the end of the year, or do you do it every
paycheck? That's a big question. There are certain people who do it every paycheck, and that's what I do. There are other people that do it at the end of the year. It depends. But either way, Rav Schwab asked the question, and it's a penetrating question. Since when do we want to be rich? Since when does the Torah tell us to be rich? Exactly. If you go through Mishlei and Koheles, it says, it doesn't say that we want to be rich. It never tells you, go and be rich. Asa b'shul shetisasher is, do it so that you become rich. But in Koheles and Mishlei, Shlomo Melech destroys anybody who's rich. He says, it's disgusting, it's horrible, you don't want it. He was the richest man in the world, and he knew. He said, this is not the way you want to be. Shlomo Melech underwent huge amounts of tzaros because of his riches. Huge amounts of tzaros from whatever he went through in Koheles. Ashirus, however, seems to be, it's a tenai for Nevuah. Nevuah needs three things. Chachma, Osher, and Kavod. That's very strange. Simcha is included within Kavod. Why do you need riches to be a Navi? Why in the world does a Navi have to be rich? The pshat is, this is how Rav Schwab says it from a Rambam and Shmona Prakin. Ashirus is Milas Amidos. It brings up your character traits and makes you into a better person. What does that mean? The reference is to Istapkus, to be able to be okay with what you have. If you're rich, we know Ezu Asher, who's a rich person, has an Echbechalka. famous from Pirkei Avos. Parak Dalad Mishnah Aleph, I believe. Ezu Asher Asameach Lechelko. It doesn't mean that you're going to get tons and tons and tons of money, although that could be another translation of the Pasuk, and if you want to translate it that way, that could be a translation of the way it'll go. Oh, but yeah, it doesn't have to mean that way. Ha'aster B'shoshet Ezu Asher is do meiser, so you start realizing you're Asameach Lechelko. You realize this isn't mine. That 10 bucks out of the 100 bucks that I just got is not my money. It's so that you start realizing that the money that I do have, I should be happy with. I don't need the extra 10 bucks. I'm okay with giving up this 10 bucks. I don't feel like I absolutely need it. It's leading you to say, I'm okay with where I am and putting glue and putting borders on all my taivas. That my taiva goes a certain area and then I say, no, I'm going to stop right there. And I know how hard it is to take off miser. I don't have enough money to take it off from. And I still have 4 kids. I know how much it is, how hard it is to be able to take off miser. I know how hard it is to have to pay for your dues and shul, and then to have to pay for schooling for your kids, and pay for camp, which technically all those things are included within the category of miser, and then any mishulach that comes to your door you have to give something to, and have money on you for when you go to shul itself, aside from all the tzedakah organizations and all the yeshivas and all the other places that are out there. I understand that. It's unbelievable. But if you want to be sameach b'chalko and to be okay with giving away your 10%, to sit there and to say that, you have to be sameach b'chalko. You have to sit there and say to yourself, I want to take off miser. And that way you'll realize I'm going to be okay and you'll be sameach b'chalko. I don't think it's possible for a person to get there without Yiras Shamayim. Without that first part of Yiras Shamayim, of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded me to do it and understanding who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you don't want to do it. You don't feel like doing it. You sit there and you say, I don't know. It's my money. I made it. I did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had nothing to do with it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays out of the way, I'll be perfectly fine. As long as there's no bank robbery, or if there's no global meltdown, or as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything stupid, Chas V'Shalom, then I'm going to be okay. Because I got my money in my pocket. What could happen? But if a thief comes along and takes my wallet out of my pocket, God, it was all you. But putting it in my pocket, that was me. I took the money, I put it in my pocket. I pressed the ATM machine. I remember my little code. I got it. I got the money out. It's in my pocket. It's mine. If a person realizes there's Yiras Shamayim in this world, there's something else out there, things change. Then you start realizing, you know, Sameach B'chalko. There's a little bit of anivus. There's a little bit of I realize. And that's after Shabishvil Shatit
Hashem. You work for that money. I mean, I appreciate that Hashem gives you all the opportunities.
No question.
If a person goes and slaves 6 days a week or whatever for 8-12 hours a day, I mean, it's hard to say.
Your hands are from God.
Everything's from God.
Your feet are from God. Everything you have and every ability that you've ever done in order to go to work is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you want to look at it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to go work, yes, say it that way. You have to have Yishtadlus, and there's everything you have to do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability. And again, like we said last week, very similar to what we said at the end of last week, it's not when somebody says to you, great job, you say, thank you. But on the inside you say, Baruch Hashem, thank Hashem. You're allowed to say thank you, because you did do it. But on the inside you say to yourself, Baruch Hashem, thank God that I was able to do this. And you're thanking God. You don't have to go out there and say to everybody, no, it wasn't me, it was God, because then you look like a geek, and everybody will make fun of you. You don't do that. You don't go that far. You could if you're a big guzzle. But if you're not a big guzzle, and you're going to look strange, and people are going to look at you and say, like, what's wrong with you? You say, thank you very much. And in your head, you just say, thank you, Hashem. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbat.